We're CJMQ 88.9 FM. I'm Maureen Dillon Teasdale, and today it's time again for another segment at the Movies with Mel, with Melanie Cutting. And today she has a special guest in, Judy Keenan. And Judy's going to be talking about the International Film Festival that was held recently. I guess it's finished now? That was going on at La Maison de Cinéma. So we'll talk to Melanie first.
Okay, yeah, we'll get my stuff out of the way first.
Okay.
So I made the big sacrifice and I went to a movie called A Quiet Place, which has been getting really good reviews. And I have been on Rotten Tomatoes to see how good. And it's got 95% good reviews.
Oh, excellent.
I think they call it certified fresh or something. Mm-hmm. Some tomato reference. Anyway, and that's the one that we went to see. I had hoped to see another one called Isle of Dogs, and I think I may have missed it. I think it's not there anymore, but anyway, it would be good to try and get to see that one. Anyway, A Quiet Place was it's a horror movie.
Oh, okay.
And it's very well done. It's a kind of a classy horror movie. Mm-hmm. With good performers. Emily Blunt and John Krasinski are the leads. They're mm-hmm. a married couple who play a married couple, and they live in apparently upstate New York. I wasn't sure where it was, and there's almost no one left except their family, because they were invaded. This is all vague. They don't spend much time on how this came about, but there are creatures that are now terrorizing the remaining people because they capture them and eat them, and they're really horrific. They look like these creatures from the movie, the Alien series movies. Uh-huh. They're just awful. But they can't see, and I guess they don't have a whole lot of sense of smell either, but their big sense, the strongest sense, is hearing. So that's why A Quiet Place.
Oh.
Everybody is super, super, super quiet. And I figured, well, this sounds like a horror movie I might like. So I did like it, as it turned out, and there's a few little inconsistencies, and I was saying, well, that's not right, but small things in general terms. It's very good for what it is. It's kind of a classy adult horror movie. Good performances by the two leads. There's a girl, I guess she's a teenager, who is deaf. She's hard of hearing, and she plays their daughter, who is deaf. And that's a kind of a significant part of the plot, is to have this young woman there who can't hear, because it's obviously harder for her to keep quiet because she can't hear when she's making noise or anyone else is making noise. So anyway, good. It was a fine film. I would recommend, if you have any interest in horror movies, to do that. There's one called Blockers, which oddly, although it's an English movie, this just happens once in a while. We've talked about it. It's only in French. And it's a kind of a raunchy comedy. Also getting pretty good reviews, but as I said, only in French, which is inexplicable. Another one which is there is called Indian Horse, and that's been getting very good reviews, about a young man who becomes a hockey player, but he has a residential school background, and I guess it's doing very well. People say, oh, you must see this movie. I have a feeling people in the U.S. must see this movie, because it seems to deal with territory that those of us who live in Canada already know fairly well. But if you are interested in this area, or if you would like to see something about Indigenous people and their difficulties in getting through life with the Indigenous schools, and it's a good movie for you. I have read a bit about it, and I've seen a couple of clips, and quite honestly, my feeling was, I think I've seen enough of this.
Okay.
But that's me. It's certainly not something that I would discourage people from mm-hmm. seeing. That's for sure. Okay. So, and I'll just mention what's coming on the 20th, which is Friday. Is it this Friday, the 20th? I think so.
Mm-hmm. Wow, we're up to the 20th already.
Yeah. There's a movie, an Amy Schumer comedy called I Feel Pretty. She's pretty funny. People either really like Amy Schumer or they really don't like her. Mm-hmm. But I've now seen a preview for this and I thought, yeah, it looks like something that that might be kind of enjoyable. I know she's kind of a heavyset young woman and and she's always very self-conscious about her body. And then apparently, according to the previews, one day she falls in the gym, hurts her head, and suddenly realizes, just because of this injury to her head, that she is in fact pretty. So it's kind of like, okay, so there's it's obviously a politically correct movie, so that's what's coming down the pike. And at the moment, in English, a movie which I can tell you right now I will not see, called Rampage. As much as I like Dwayne The Rock Johnson, I figure a movie that's made from an arcade game from years ago is just not in my wheelhouse to effectively talk about. So I will not talk about that one. But it looks like a good one for people who are significantly younger than I am. Teenagers and thereabouts, maybe preteens. The one that we did see, and it's still there, and kind of liked it. There were some things we didn't like. This was the one I reviewed with Caleb a couple of weeks ago.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Called Ready Player One. Still there in French and English. Worth seeing, I think. It's a Steven Spielberg movie, and it has many of those lovely Steven Spielberg touches. So even if you're not so interested in virtual reality, there is more to it than that. And there's another movie, again, I will not be seeing, called Truth or Dare. And my listeners can look it up if they're interested.
Okay.
That's enough. It's not one that is of any interest, frankly. So we will wrap this segment up and move on to the Festival Cinéma du Monde de Sherbrooke, 5th edition. Judy.
Great. Okay.
And so Judy's going to tell us about the International Film Festival.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so Melanie and I, being sort of film friends and other friends, Melanie said, why don't you come in and talk about this? Because she knows that I love the film festival. Mm-hmm. This is the 5th one that's been on, as you said and Melanie said, called Redécouvrez le Monde, or Rediscover the World. And I think of the 5, this is my 4th year going. I was telling Maureen when I came in, it's a fantastic film festival, and probably or maybe some of you know it and go. If you haven't gone, it's something to really watch for next year, because they bring in, this year it was 100 films from all over the world, fiction, children's films, documentary. Almost all of them are prize winners at some of the biggest festivals like Cannes and Tribeca and in Berlin. They've won, some of them won many prizes. The films come from 35 different countries, including Canada. There is a juried international film competition. They've chosen 5 films to be selected, one of them as the best full feature film and 5 for the best documentary. And as an audience member, you also get the chance to vote for the Prix Coup de Cœur du Public. And if you if your name is drawn and you win 2 passports to next year's festival. So that's just an introduction to it. Before I tell you about some of the films that I chose this year, there also are a lot of special programs going on during the film festival, which I don't go to. I tend to go to the films, just because there are so many, I find it hard to leave any of them out, and you have to. But there are there's a photo exhibition at the corner of King and Wellington. There are special showings of the best animated shorts. There's a projection of pocket films, which I'd never heard of. These are short 1 to 4 minute films taken by some schools in Sherbrooke that participated on a cell phone, a tablet, or a video camera. There was a special showing of a black and white silent film masterpiece accompanied by live modern music for local musicians. There was a soirée estrienne with five short local films, preceded by a meeting with the filmmakers. Ciné échanges around all kinds of topics, everything you can think of. There was an outdoor film projection at the corner of King and Wellington at night. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Roundtable discussions, chance to meet Italian filmmakers, an introduction to video poetry, and a ciné brunch with a film being shown on women chefs. So there's just everything happening at the same time as these 100 films are being screened.
That's amazing.
It's absolutely amazing. As you know, the Maison du Cinéma has, I don't know, 16 different cinemas, so they're all going at the same time.
Plus the regular people were just going to the movies.
To the regular movies. It's an incredible scheduling feat. As I was saying to Maureen when I came in, it's packed. People love it. Some of the films are sold out. You have to go half an hour early in order to get parking and to get in and get your ticket. And if you don't get there on time, sometimes you're right up at the front or you don't get in. You have to choose a different film.
Okay.
So it's really successful and getting bigger. You can buy your passport if you choose in advance. Mm-hmm. That can save you a little bit of money, and it ensures that you're going to get a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
Although I often go and get my ticket. I did buy two passports. There are five films each, so I saw 10 films this year. It's on for, I didn't say the dates. It was on for 6 days, I think, from Monday to Sunday.
Okay.
Yeah. So and then in that time, some people just go and take their chances on films. Melanie knows what I'm like. I sit down and read the entire brochure. I go online. They have a site online.
Okay.
You can look at trailers for almost every film has a trailer, plus a little blurb. So you really get a sense, you know, what country it's from, how long it lasts, how much it interests you.
Mm-hmm.
So you can make a selection, which is what I do. Yeah, I bought my passport, so the films ended up costing me about $7.50 a film, which is
fantastic.
And even if you do that without that, it's between $9 and $12.50 depending on your age.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a bargain, and it's films that we just would not be seeing if it were not for this festival. From countries like everywhere, from Israel, Iran, Iraq, Russia, Armenia. What else did I see?
All over the East, China, Japan.
China, Japan, Korea. African films are just incredible films from places you didn't even know were. And places you don't know, that's the whole thing. That's how I choose. I kind of look for things that, countries I don't know much about or topics that I think are things I want to know more about.
It's almost like being able to travel there a bit.
Really is. It's like an eye on the world. You just come out feeling, wow, you know, this is a whole new world for me.
Exactly.
So it's a fantastic festival. So, do you want me to take a look?
Certainly.
I went to see 10 different films. I'll try not to go into too much detail, but I saw, these are just in the order that I saw them.
Mm-hmm.
The first one I saw was one from Algeria called Jusqu'à la fin du temps. It was about an aging woman who goes on a pilgrimage to visit the tomb of her sister and plan her own funeral. But her meeting with the local gravedigger and keeper of the cemetery changes both of them forever. So it was just the landscapes there were amazing. Who knew that there was a village up on a mountain whose sole purpose it was to bury the dead?
Mm-hmm.
People are brought in by buses from other countries. They want to bury their dead there.
Oh my.
And this gravedigger looks after them. There is a female who washes the bodies of the women and the man who looks after the men.
Mm-hmm.
And that's his job and his life. And all the people in the village are kind of dedicated to that. It's a tiny village.
Mm-hmm.
So it's who knew? I mean, it was just fascinating.
And these have subtitles in English?
Yes, okay. I forgot to say that. Yeah. Some are subtitled. Mm-hmm. Most are subtitled in French.
Okay.
So there are a few, if they were made, for example, I saw a documentary in Denmark and a lot of it was in English.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then they subtitle it in French as well. But they're all in the original language, but subtitles. So if you can, I mean, I miss things, but I don't care. It's just so great.
Mm-hmm.
So
we did look through the brochure last week and discovered that there's quite a few that are either in English or subtitled
yeah,
in English.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, great.
There are. There definitely are. I didn't pick all of those, but they're definitely, there's a good selection.
That's excellent.
Yeah. The second one I saw was one that, it was a film that just kind of destroyed me. We came out of there just blown away by it. It was called Une Famille Syrienne, and it won the Prix du Public in Berlin. It was about a Syrian family. It was filmed in one day. It was one day of their life filmed in their apartment.
Okay.
They're in a town that is being bombarded, and it's never completely clear whether they are part of the guerrilla movement or simply entrapped there. The father seems to be away and can't get back. He's behind barricades somewhere. Mm. They are alone in this building, the family, and they've taken in some other people from their apartment building. They're the last people in this building, and they're barring their doors while outside all this chaos is going on. Mm-hmm. And it takes place over one day, and there are just some devastating things that happen within that day. And decisions that they have to make that affect whether they're going to live or die. And their decisions often mean that somebody else can die or be be abused or so it made me think about how difficult it is to judge people in those circumstances because it's the decisions they make are so difficult. There isn't any right or wrong almost. Mm-hmm. It was a wonderful film. It was difficult, but I was so glad I saw it. It was a super film. Then I thought I'll treat myself to a feel-good film.
Okay.
So I went to L'Ordre Divin, which was a Swiss film, which won the Prix du Public at the Tribeca Film Festival. And it was about the movement organized by women in the countryside of Switzerland at the end of the 60s to get the vote.
Okay.
And the vote didn't come there until 1971 for women, which is extraordinary when you think of it.
Mm-hmm.
Very late. So that was a fun film. I saw Après la Guerre, which was an Italian-French co-production, was the official selection at Cannes for Un Certain Regard. I won't go into all the details of that one. Another fine film about political militants who were safeguarded in France, but when France changed the laws, they were going to be extradited back to Italy, and it brought chaos into their lives. Then a lovely little film called La Villa, which was the official selection at the Vienna Film Festival, about changing time in a little Italian village in Italy, a coastal village, and a family who comes home for a funeral and how they take stock of their lives.
Okay.
And when I was there, I met some friends, and they had just been in this little village in the summertime.
Oh,
and it's right on the coast, sort of like in a little fjord. And you go down this steep hill to get to it, and all the houses are sandwiched along the coast. So dramatic scenery and a really fine little film. Then I went to a documentary called Le Vénérable W. I work with the May Sot Foundation, which works with Burmese immigrant or migrant children in Thailand. And this was a film about the Buddhist monk who is causing all the havoc there. He is a racist, an Islamophobe, and has become very powerful in Myanmar, in Burma. They dealt with his life story up to the present. 90% of Myanmar is Buddhist, and we know what we think Buddhists espouse. Mm-hmm. Only 4% of Myanmar is Muslim, but he has launched this entire campaign against the Muslims, and the Rohingya in particular, and has been responsible for the destruction of the villages, and we know the violence that has ensued there. So it was a fascinating film. I didn't entirely understand at the end of it why he held these beliefs, where it had come from in his life, but he has become a very powerful figure for division. So it was a fascinating documentary.
It sounds fascinating.
It was. The next one I saw was Visage Village, which won the Academy Award here for the best documentary in the Œil d'Or at Cannes in the same category. This was a delight. This was a fantastic little film. It's a documentary. Two artists, photographers, one who is 88 and one who is 33, who get together in their little van and travel through France, taking photographs which come out of the back of their van, huge. And they take these and then mount them on the walls around the homes where the people they have interviewed live.
Ah.
And it's just their way of connecting with the people and finding these stories of interest and then taking these photographs. And you see them on the wall, like sometimes they're, I don't know, 15, 20 feet high. And it's powerful. It's just powerful mm-hmm. to see them and to see the reaction of the people in the villages and towns. So it's a film about, I think it's a film about kind of what art can do mm-hmm. and when art is really made for people,
exactly.
you know, to be understood. Mm-hmm. And it's also a film a little bit about what it means to grow older and what friendship is about. So mm-hmm. it was just a fantastic film. We just came out of there feeling full. It was great.
It certainly piqued my interest.
There are just three more. Maybe, I don't know, do you want me to even
sure.
go on mm-hmm. about them? One was this documentary called Big Time. It's a Danish documentary about Bjørk Ingels, who's a rising star in Danish architecture. And it follows him through his daily life for a period of 7 years. Mm-hmm. And it's just a fascinating look at someone who is young, brilliant. Would we should all be so creative in our lives. The creative process and a bit about his personal life. And it was just, for me, a wonderful film.
Partly because 7 years is a long time to be filming.
7 years. And the pressure he was on. I mean, he's building these fantastic buildings that are iconic buildings. Mm-hmm. And you saw him working with his team, but the pressure is to perform. And then at the same time, you're aware he's got this film crew tagging around, you know, filming all of this. Mm-hmm. And at one point I thought, wait a minute, we're seeing him in his house. Does he have a partner? What happens to his personal life? There was no partner. And towards the end of the film, they showed him saying, you know, he was now 40, mm-hmm. and he didn't think he would be at this place in his life without a partner and no children. And then he meets another architect, proposes to her within 2 months, and they're going to be married. And impulsive, mm-hmm. brilliant, probably hugely egotistical, but fascinating. Then I went to see Toto et ses Sœurs, which was a Romanian documentary following the disintegration. You see, I liked some dark films. Mm-hmm. Following the disintegration of a Roma family, two sisters and a younger brother, Toto. Their mother has been imprisoned for 7 years for trafficking drugs. Mm-hmm. They are totally on their own. Small children. Toto is 10. His sisters are a little older. You see them in this apartment, which becomes increasingly chaotic, with drug dealers and takers coming in and using it as a base. Mm-hmm. The oldest girl ends up going to jail for drug dealing. The middle one takes Toto, and they are put in a home for homeless children. Mm-hmm. At the end of the film, the mother gets out of film and sort of out of prison and kind of thinks she's just going to go back and her children are going to take her back. She has no conception. And mm-hmm. And their lives are going to be pulled down the drain again when Toto has just beginning, he's beginning to come into his own. He's won a hip-hop contest.
Okay.
And this is all
mm-hmm.
a doc. It's real. So it's mm-hmm. it was a wonderful film. Dark, not a happy ending, but fascinating. Mm-hmm. And the last one I saw was another film called Quatre Rois. It's a German film about four youths and the doctor who's in charge of them at a psychiatric emergency institution over Christmas, which again sounds pretty dark, but it was a fantastic film. It was just a fantastic film. We just came out of there. We could hardly speak. The youths are given cameras at one point. There's a wonderful doctor who is compassionate, and he gives them a camera to film one another and ask the people who are there, what does Christmas mean to them? Mm-hmm. And as they're filming people, you see that for all of these students, Christmas has not been a good time. And they begin to show their anger and their sadness and their fragility. And then a particular event takes place, which is very unfortunate. It's a misadventure, and it brings, unfortunately, catastrophic conclusion to the film. But there is a moment of hope at the end. So it's beautifully written, acted, directed, and a fantastic film.
Amazing.
And that's just 10, and I missed the other 90 wonderful films. So
choosing 10 out of 100 is...
It's so hard. And sometimes, you know, within one slot, there are three films you want to go to. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of go by looking at the trailer and what seems to touch me the most. But
exactly.
Oh, I wouldn't say there was one film I saw that I was sorry that I saw. There were many that I didn't see that I'm sorry I didn't see. But
lots of documentaries, and they seem based on real life in these countries, which is fascinating.
They're wonderful, the documentaries. And, of course, all the children's films, which are also wonderful, but I didn't take time to see them. But, and I tend to like seeing some documentaries, too, because some of the other films are films that I kind of feel deal with a little more ordinary themes sometimes. And since I might get a chance to see them somewhere else, these ones are special. So I would say, I guess maybe I saw a little less than half documentaries and the rest regular films, feature length films.
Even those, though, a lot of them were based on real life in those countries, which is amazing.
I think that's how they choose all these films. That they have a fantastic committee that goes around and looks at, I'm sure, hundreds and hundreds more films and then selects these. And they do a really fine job.
It sounds like they do. We get so lost in our own perspective.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a real window on the world. Mm-hmm. So, and to have that here in Sherbrooke. As I say, I mean, I haven't seen a Montreal Film Festival, I went to the Victoria Film Festival, which was wonderful, but I would think this was an even more interesting festival because of the breadth of films that they were able to get, and maybe linguistic things come into what they can choose in Victoria, I don't know, but here it's an incredible variety of films of the highest caliber. Mm-hmm. So we're lucky.
It's definitely an educational experience. Yeah. We're going to have you in next year before the festival.
Next year, you get another.
Yeah.
And there are some of those movies, I'm not sure how many, are going to return to the Maison de Cinéma in general circulation.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
In fact, the opening and closing films are going to be on the 20th and 27th, or the weeks of the 20th and 27th of April. And there were two or three other films that I noticed were coming again, and I think there may be a few more. So I should tell you the name of the opening. Well, anyway, your people who are listening can look and see, but they're coming again, and you'll have a chance to see some that you might have missed. If I can see what it was called here. The opening film was called Jusqu'à la fin du temps, and the closing film, which I chose not to see because I was getting exhausted and I knew it was going to come again, was called Jusqu'à la garde. And some of these directors are very, very well known in their own fields and countries.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good. Excellent. Thank you so much.
So we're happy that your health didn't suffer after so much viewing and decision making.
Yes. I was so determined. Last year I had a problem with my eye.
Okay.
But I went and I wore sunglasses and covered up one eye
I could watch. It was kind of crazy. You are determined.
I was determined.
The term film buff applies to Judy. Okay, just a wrap-up thing here. The Maison de Cinéma, bless their little hearts, they have a program that begins in September and it ends 18th of April, which is coming up very shortly. And it's called Passeport pour le Monde. And they have films from different countries. In September, it was Vietnam, October, Puerto Rico, November, Armenia, December, Yukon, and so on and so forth. So there's several that come and they're shown, and they're obviously open to the public to come and see, and kind of like travel log kind of movies. So the very last one, 18th of April, is at 1 o'clock. Mm-hmm. It's only twice a week. One is in the afternoon, one's in the evening.
Okay.
So it's Wednesday, excuse me, because there was one, the same one was on the 15th, but that's now passed. Mm-hmm. So the 18th is Wednesday here, right? Sorry. And this one is called Château de la Loire, Visite Royale. So I think it's a visit to the Loire region, the many chateaus that they have there, which is usually a part of everybody's trip to France. So you've missed a bunch. So have I, but anyway, the last one is coming up on Wednesday, and I'm quite sure they will do the same thing next year. They'll have these kind of fun travel logs.
Yeah.
I don't think any of them are in English, but
it's visual.
It's very visual. Yeah, I was going to say
and probably even if your command of French is not wonderful, you can get a lot out of it.
Exactly.
Regardless. Yeah.
And there may be, I don't know, Mel, have you ever talked to, maybe some people might not know that they also get the operas sometimes, live from the opera, live from the Met at the Maison. And I think Macbeth is coming next.
Nice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm not sure if I had mentioned that. I get a little bit caught up in the regular, everyday, mundane movies. I always feel terribly guilty when Judy tells me about these wonderful movies she's seen at the at the film festival, and I'm just going to see the usual.
Oh,
usual,
yeah.
Sort of
You've
stuff.
Seen a lot of good films, too.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong.
Some of them are fine, and they're the ones that everyday folk will go and see.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. And once again, just a reminder, it's dirt cheap. You get a $7 pass. You buy a booklet of 8 $7 passes for $56. They never expire, and you can go whenever. I think the only cheaper way of getting in is if you're a student, and then it's 6 something.
Okay, wonderful.
And it's just a gem of a place, eh?
It is.
Yeah.
Very nice.
We need to give them lots of support.
We do.
Yes, the English community in particular, because it's not just French films.
No. It's in any given week. There are 3, 4, sometimes even more English films.
Depends, but there's always at least a few.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you have to kind of make a beeline to see them, because sometimes they end up.
They don't last as long.
Moving from French and English to only French.
Yeah. Exactly.
But it's a real service that they provide for the Anglophone community.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you very
thank
much.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
And that was fun.
Yeah. Thanks very much for coming in, Judy, and thanks, Melanie.
We'll have you back again.
We will.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Bye.